This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Good morning, I'm Aaron Mee. You're listening to the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. The Community Matters program is brought to you by Beacon Light. And today, joining me here on the Community Matters program is Skyla, Pam, and Patty. They are all from the Blue Star Mothers of Kinzu. And first of all, I gotta say, I'm thankful that you all were able to take some time out to talk to me today because it's a really busy time of year for everyone. There's a lot of things going on. And with that being said, I am glad that you guys are able to take some time during this busy time of year to do things for the people that are helping our country and serving overseas. Really, I think that it's an important thing to do, and it's something that I know that those people appreciate. And I really am excited to see if we can get more people involved with it. So I understand that you guys have a care package event that's going to be coming up on Saturday, November 18th. And would you mind going through just some of the details of how this works?
We've been gathering supplies through the entire year, and we will be set up. We'll set up everything on Friday night, and we invite the public to join us on Saturday beginning at 9 a.m. And we will pack boxes. Hopefully, our goal is 100 of them with supplies that we already have there, most of which have been donated. Each box is individualized at the end. You can write a card and sign your name to one of our military members, and these are going to be going to people stationed overseas, anywhere that we've identified there is a need to get those packages to. And obviously we're celebrating Christmas as well, so there'll be some things in there for Christmas.
Where is this going to be taking place at?
This is going to be taking place at the North Warren Presbyterian Church, and we do have some local children right now that are serving in the Middle East at this time as well. So these boxes are going to some of them as well.
Really? Wow. That's definitely something that, especially when they're that far away from home and they're in such a different environment than what we have here, it's something where some of those things that we have here that we can send over there really can bring, you know, the morale up when they see, you know, either the chocolate that we have that we can get, or, you know, just some of the other items that are just local to here that they're able to get over there. I know that they appreciate some of it. What are some of these items that are going to get sent out?
Some of the items would be hygiene items, something like that, things like that, snacks, socks, t-shirts, and candy, and
do try to buy some fun Christmas items too that they can take, and especially this time of the year, that will just help to make someone laugh. And we do things even as simple as putting a couple of Matchbox cars in their packages, because then they have races and they get bored sometimes, and it gives them something to do. So games, crossword puzzle books, if it fits, we ship it.
See, that's awesome. I love hearing about things like that, especially when one of the things that I actually was curious about thinking about this is when you're able to do that and you're able to interact with these people, when you're looking to identify, you know, the people that you're going to be sending these care packages to, is that an opportunity there? I mean, the way I look at it, it seems like that would be an opportunity for you to almost become pen pals with them while they're out there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. We do get some thank yous on Facebook that is they're private thank yous. They become our children in a sense, and we care about them, we pray about for them, and we do get to know them through some of our children who are deployed with them as well. And we get to know what their needs are, because sometimes they don't get something from home, and so we're able to provide that. But I also wanted to touch base real quick, because we've been asked on our care package list, we have dog treats, and a couple of people are like, dog treats? We have to remember they have working dogs there as well, and it's just a nice treat for them to have something to hand out to those working dogs.
That's something that I had never thought about, and that's such a good point, because, you know, when we're here on this side of the world, we don't know what it's exactly like over there. So that's one of the things that I really am fascinated to learn about, that is something that people would want to consider with that. That's really an interesting thing, and I think that just goes to speak to how you you have to be able to talk to them a little bit and get an idea of what the needs are to be able to help customize the care packages a little bit to the people that are going to be receiving them. So when you look at some of these drives that have happened in the past, what I'm kind of curious about is how many have you been able to ship out in years past?
We have done a total of almost 3,000 care packages in the 6 years that we have been in existence here.
If people are going to be coming there and they're going to bring donations, what do you recommend they bring?
The things that Patty talked about, toiletries is a big one. You know, they need, you know, soaps and shampoos and deodorants and razors and shaving cream and all of those kinds of things. They love playing cards and batteries and, you know, sometimes it's the unique things that are fun to put into the package. So, you know, we look at size as well. You know, we have a certain size box we can send things. So really big items we generally don't do so that we can get more in a box. But if people have ideas, you know, we put chapstick in there and sunblock and things like baby wipes and things like that, things you wouldn't really think of normally. You have to consider where these people are located that are getting the boxes. And so we try to cover all of our bases. So really anything. We hold a truckload for troops, which is where we gather supplies for packing. And when we do that, we actually give a list of items that we encourage people to purchase so that we can stay focused on the major needs first.
Also cards, letters, and pictures drawn by children.
One more thing that I wanted to make sure that we talk about in relation to some of the programs that you guys are doing. I understand that there's another program that you guys have been able to work with a few groups from, and I think that this is something that's really amazing because it's a national program that I understand. It's Wreaths Across America. So can you go through the details of how you've been able to bring it here into Warren County?
So I have been participating in the Wreaths Across America in Jamestown and also in Sugar Grove. They do a phenomenal job with this. So I had reached out to figure out how we can bring it to Warren, and they were right on top of it and called me right away, and so we partnered with them. And then it was just a matter of finding a cemetery that would allow us to bring it to their cemetery, and St. Joseph Cemetery will allow us to do that, and they have 400 veterans. So
you had to order a ton of wreaths for this. How was the process for that? How did that go? And with that being said, when is the day going to come when they're going to be all set and ready? How does that process work?
You can go online and order through Wreaths Across America. Our sign, our flyers, have a little QR code that they can scan. And as of today, I believe there are 51 different people that have ordered online. And also, we have been collecting individually checks from individuals. And as of today, we have about 53 separate orders for that. Actually, before I came, our individual orders are $3,895 from orders through each of us or through another member. But that is, as of right now, that's how many. I'm not sure if we're close. We're pretty close to reaching our goal of 425. And so we still have a few more to sell, but we're getting very close.
Yes, for us, we want to be November 15th. And I also would like to say that United Refinery is doing a fundraiser right now for us, and we are also doing a fundraiser to be able to complete our goal. So
perfect.
We have, as of this morning, it was 347 wreaths ordered this morning. So we are getting close to our goal.
So one thing that I wanted to ask then is to see is, since you have these flyers and you mentioned that the QR code's on the flyer, we can then hang up one of these flyers in our window then, and people, if they want to walk by, they can just scan it and they can get a wreath that way?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what we'll do then is we'll put this in the window. If you happen to be heading down 2nd Avenue here in downtown Warren, check out the WRRN window, and you can scan the flyer, check out the QR code, and look for the Wreaths Across America. It's going to be the flyer that says December 16th on it. And can you guys go through the details of how this whole process works? I mean, you have to order them, and they don't just, you know, randomly appear here.
So Reese Across America's mission is to remember, honor, and teach. So what they do is on December 16th, they have a parade of all the trucks that are leaving to go across the country. They actually lead them down into Arlington, and some of them start branching off to come to where they need to be delivered. So it is a big, huge deal up in Maine the day that those trucks leave. So then they arrive at their destination, and we are going to hopefully have a big deal when that truck comes to Warren. December 16th is not just Warren, it's across the country. That is National Reese Across America Day. And most ceremonies start at noon. Some of them start at 11. Ours will be at noon. We have a big ceremony. We have some speakers planned. And hopefully we need as many volunteers as we can get that day. Reese Across America goes on no matter what type of weather, no matter what it, you know, what is happening. We don't cancel that day.
See, and that's something that I really am excited to be able to see, and I hope that we're able to get a really good turnout for it here in Warren. I talked with Erin Wallace from the Be Well Warrior Initiative, and she talked about how Warren County has the highest military veteran per capita of people in the whole state. It really does bring up a good point when we look at what you guys are doing to be honoring these people and these veterans on December 16th. Really, it just shows how important it is here in Warren County. So with that being said, then, a big reminder is that it's going to be coming up December 16th, and it's National Wreaths Across America Day, and we're going to be celebrating it here in Warren, and it's going to be at the St. Joseph Cemetery, right?
Yes.
If people want to stay up to date with what's going on with Blue Star Moms, you can follow the Blue Star Mothers of Kinzu PA, and you guys are on Facebook, and that's really the best way to stay up to date with some of these things. But I really appreciate you all coming in today to be able to talk about this stuff. It's really amazing to see what you guys are doing here. And I wanted to ask, is there anything else that we're forgetting or that we should be highlighting with this, because I want to make sure that we highlight everything.
So the moment that we place a wreath, we say our veterans' names out loud, because they will never be forgotten that way. The moment we stop saying their names is the day they stop being remembered, and so we never want them to be forgotten. And so we're not there to celebrate them, but we are there to honor their service to our country and their sacrifices they have made for our freedoms.
So one of the reasons we're asking the public to join us and asking for volunteers is that all of these wreaths, all hopefully 425 of them, are going to be placed on a grave. And so every volunteer will be going out into the cemetery and finding that particular person's grave and saying their name, brushing off the snow, if there's snow, and making it visible and placing the wreath and honoring them. And so it's going to take a community to be able to get those out there, and because we don't stop until we're done.
And our community is the best community around. They have always stepped up when we have asked for anything, and this is no exception. We couldn't have done this without them.
Also, I wanted to give everyone a reminder as well. Coming up November 18th is their care package drive, and again, that's going to be taking place on Saturday.
We do want to say thank you to St. Joseph Cemetery for allowing us to bring this program to Warren and to use their cemetery to represent and to honor and not forget those that have gone before us, the veterans, and say thank you to them.
And if you know, they're unable to come help us on that day, certainly supporting our fundraiser, which is going to make up the difference in any funds that we need to get to our goal, is very much appreciated by all of us at the Blue Star Mothers. And if they want to contact, if they don't have Facebook or social media, certainly reach out to any Blue Star Mother member, and we can help them you know, get in contact or find out what's going on and support them that way.
You got a really good point. And one more thing that I did want to mention is if you want to make a donation, you can actually check out our door at the bottom of the WRRN studios here in downtown Warren. We're going to have a flyer hanging up that you can scan the QR code on, and it's going to give you a direct link to be able to donate and you know, get one of those wreaths. So I think that that's going to be a really good opportunity. If you happen to have a smartphone and you'd like to be able to do it, just stop down here in downtown Warren, and we're going to have the flyer hanging up on our window. So, yeah.
I found that some people, especially older people that don't have the smartphones or don't know how to use it, it's easier for them to make a phone call and place an order. And they can do that by calling St. Joseph's Church office, and they can give you the contact information to place an order.
Well, I appreciate you all coming out here to talk to me today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Martino, Director of Integrated Outpatient Services at Beacon Light Behavioral Health Services, an affiliate of Journey Health System. Our outpatient clinic provides mental health care to children, adults, and families at traditional and school-based locations in Warren and Forest counties. Our goal is to reduce life stressors and help individuals return to a healthier lifestyle. For more information or to learn about a rewarding career, visit www.beacon-light.org and follow us on Facebook. Beacon Light is an equal opportunity employer.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
Good morning. I'm Aaron Mee. You're listening to the greatest hits here on 92 Gold and 104.3 Ginzu Country. And this is our Community Matters program brought to you by Beacon Light. And joining me today is Brian Eckenrode and Becky Darby from the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra. And thank you two for taking the time to join me today. I really appreciate it. I understand you guys have an upcoming concert, and I am really excited to be able to discuss it. So first off, let's just get the date right out of the way for everyone. When is this concert going to be taking place?
It's Sunday, November 19th at 4 o'clock, and it is at the St. Joseph Parish in Warren.
What I wanted to talk about is this concert is going to be a little bit different from some of the previous concerts in that you guys are going to be working with a few groups that are in the community to bring some extra pieces to this orchestra, and I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be something different that I'm excited for the community to be able to see. Brian, would you be able to give us some of the details on this? How did you get started with it?
Well, sure. Last season, our concertmaster, Cody Hiller, approached us and asked us if we would maybe do a side-by-side concert with some of his students from Southwestern School in Lakewood, New York. So we thought that would be a great opportunity to, you know, have the kids sit amongst the orchestra and bring the families in to see what we're doing here in Warren. And we've also invited some of the Warren area high school students to join us as well. So we're figuring around 20 students should be added to the orchestra on the 19th of November. As a side-by-side, it's going to be a big orchestra of over probably close to 70 people. So we needed a venue that would house that many people. So we looked at different churches in the area, and St. Joe's seems to be quite a large venue for that. So it's our first concert in that space, so we'll be there that earlier that day to have a run-through rehearsal with the students and see how everybody's going to fit in that space. So
that's honestly something that you bring up that I think is really important that we highlight, too. I mean, a lot of people that have been coming to these Warren Philharmonic Orchestra concerts for a while are used to the previous venue that you guys have been at, and this is going to be a little bit of a change. So I got to ask, what is the address there?
The church is at 600 Pennsylvania Avenue West in Warren. Fairly easy to find right across from the river.
So, oh, yeah. Okay, perfect. All right, I know where you're.
And lots of parking, too.
Well, there is lots of parking.
Yeah, so that's great as well.
Are they going to be doing the entire concert with you, or is it just segments or just songs?
Pretty much. I think there's a few that will be joining us for the last movement of Beethoven's Sixth, the Pastoral Symphony, which is quite a challenging work. I chose the last movement because it's basically called the Shepherd's Thanksgiving, and it's sort of Thanksgiving weekend or, you know, just previous to Thanksgiving. So our concert is called pastoral Thanksgiving. So I thought the last movement of the Beethoven 6 would be appropriate. And then there's other works on the program, too. But I think for the most part, the students should be playing quite a bit with us.
Wow, that's really interesting. So now, with that being said, like you alluded to there, I am really kind of curious to hear about some of the works that we're going to be able to hear during this Thanksgiving concert. I think that it's fascinating that you guys are able to work in, you know, a ton of different kinds of music that people can enjoy by going to these concerts. So I'm curious what you're going to have for this one.
Well, there are a variety of pieces from a lot of different genres, and I think the Beethoven Symphony is the nice classical piece that we do. The members of the orchestra really enjoy rehearsing all the differences. We're doing an Aaron Copland piece, Down a Country Lane, which is just beautiful and relaxing. It sounds like you're by a river.
That's cool.
Yeah, and actually he wrote that piece, I think, for Look magazine.
Did he? Interesting.
In the early days, you would open up the middle of Look magazine, and there would be a featured piece. And I think he wrote it originally for piano, and then later orchestrated it for, you know, smaller orchestra, but nonetheless, it is a beautiful pastoral piece. You know, Down a Country Lane sort of, you know, brings that connotation of, like, walking down a country road.
Wow. See, I really enjoy that, and especially this time of year, that's a perfect piece for this type of concert. I think that goes with it really well. So now, one of the things that I wanted to ask is, normally you have a piece of music that ends up challenging the orchestra quite a bit. Do you happen to have anything along that line with this concert? Maybe a couple pieces?
Well, what do you think, Becky?
Well, for me, the Bizet L'Arlésienne Suite is the most challenging. And I think it is for many of the members of the orchestra as well.
And she's got a big solo in the minuet movement.
A beautiful piece.
Huge solo. And it also features the saxophone, the alto saxophone, which is rarely heard in symphonic work.
That's a few times.
And Ralph Rasmussen is going to be featured in that as well. But Becky's got a big, big, big solo in the minuet movement.
It's a beautiful solo. But I think for everyone, that final, the minuet is gorgeous, and it's very lyrical. But the final movement, which is Farandole?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Farandole. Is very energetic, and for the flutes, we have a hard time finding a place to breathe because it is continuous, as it is for the violins and everybody else. But it's very energetic. It's a great ending to, I think, our first half of the program.
When you talk about some of the solos and some of the work there, who are some of the people? And I mean, I know we just talked about, you know, the alto sax, the flutes a little bit there. Throughout the rest of the concert, though, are there going to be any really, like, standout solo acts? I mean, sometimes I know you guys will have individual singers do solos as well.
Yeah, not in this performance, actually. I think it features more or less the orchestra and the students in the side-by-side situation. But in our May concert, we will feature Amber Shay Nicholson doing a piano concerto with us. Our concert in around St. Patty's Day in March, I'm going to say, will be all about trains. We were planning on doing this concert.
Fun.
Yeah, it's a bizarre concert. It's classical music about trains. And there's some other, you know, lighter classical music like Take the A Train. But on that program, we were supposed to do that program right before the pandemic happened. In fact, it was that weekend that everything shut down.
And I remember that.
I remember being down here, and it was a Thursday after the rehearsal. We did have a rehearsal, I think so. And then Friday and Saturday was like the world ended, you know, and everything's closed down. And Brenda said, you know, just leave and go home. Go back to Buffalo. Go back, you know. And it was just weird because we were all set to do this performance, and we worked really hard on this performance and never got to perform it. And so we decided to revisit that concert. And so that's going to be our concert for March.
That is so exciting. I'll tell you what, seeing something like that, and especially, you know, that it's now several years down the line and people have had an opportunity to, you know, really sink their teeth into it and get into it if they've had time to practice. It's going to be a really cool concert to look forward to there. So
ticket prices are $10 for adults, $5 for students and seniors and children who are 11 and under are free.
Perfect. So now one more thing that I was curious about in relation to that is, as far as buying tickets go, the show is supposed to start around 4 p.m., I understand, on the 19th?
That's correct.
So are you able to get tickets ahead of time, or is it
I think situation? You just get them at the door. Just I mean, there are some, if you know some orchestra members, I'm sure they can arrange to get tickets. But if you get them, you can get them at the door. It's not a big deal.
That's
but
right.
We didn't talk about the second half of this program, because it's actually pretty cool.
That's a good point.
Okay, yeah.
So we go from this classical half, first half, to a not-so-classical second half. I mean, there's a lot of... Let me see. We're going to do a Tannenbaum Fantasia, which is based on O Tannenbaum, O Christmas Tree.
Oh, that'll be
by,
fun.
Owen Goldsmith. And it's sort of a neat arrangement. And then we're also doing... Oh, actually, sort of towards the classical, the Mascalia, from the Intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana, which is an incredibly beautiful piece. It's a short piece, but it was used a lot in spaghetti commercials and Italian food commercials and whatever. But it's just a really beautiful piece, and it gives the string players, some lyrical playing and exposes the younger generation to really fine classical music. And then sort of towards the holiday stuff, we're going to do a piece called Into the Storm. Hopefully we won't have a storm that weekend, because I'm going from one concert at 4 to another concert at 7 in a different city. It's always fun around this time of year. But Into the Storm is a really, really driving piece, and it's a lot of fun. And then we have Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, which is a typical, holiday season kind of piece.
Well, the last piece we're doing is the Mad Russian's Christmas, which is a lot of fun. We've enjoyed that. Who is it?
The Trans-Siberian Orchestra performed that version.
Oh, wow.
And it's a takeoff on Tchaikovsky, the Nutcracker, but with sort of a rock and roll kind of flavor to it. And it's quite a challenging thing, but there's a lot of percussion in the second half of this program. Not so much percussion in the first half, but it features a lot of percussion. And we're very fortunate. We have a great percussion section in this orchestra. We have a faculty member from the University of Fredonia, Kay Stonefeld, comes down and plays with this orchestra, as well as other members of, in the area. So it's a fun second half of the program, and it'll get you in that holiday spirit.
And it is available on YouTube.
Really?
We stream this live.
See, and that's one of the other things that I always found fascinating. And I remember that was something that you guys had started back when we were talking about COVID a little bit earlier. That was something that I remember COVID had kind of brought on as a necessity. I remember you guys had wanted to be able to perform in front of people. And that was one of the ways that you could ensure that an audience would be able to see it. And I really think that it's awesome that it's being able to continue that way. But I have to admit, if you're able to and you're able to make it down, it's definitely a lot better to see it in
live person. Music. There's nothing like live music, really.
You can feel it,
Yeah, that's one thing that I give credit to this orchestra, because during the pandemic, a lot of orchestras actually just stopped and took a break and didn't perform. We actually kept going. We found ways to keep this, motivation going. And one of these things was to provide YouTube videos of the orchestra. I mean, we didn't have an audience, but we had, we could stream it. And so that was an opportunity to keep motivation happening with this group. We were very fortunate. I mean, I know. And then even to this day, there are a lot of orchestras are having issues like staying afloat. And we are, thanks to the community and to the Community Foundation and to all this Warren gives, that this orchestra is able to proceed and keep going and strong. I want to thank the community. It's a great opportunity to be able to perform for this great community. But
Brian, Becky, thank you for taking the time to be able to talk to me today. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.